And it's great that we can be together. It's so wonderful when we can sing with one another and when we can open up God's Word together again, study from it, and grow in it. If you'd like to be opening in your Bibles to Ezekiel, and maybe we'll get it to work. And there we go. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verses 25 and 26 are going to be of particular interest tonight as we discuss. I gave them rules or statutes that were not good. As I was reading through this book in preparation for the overview and in preparation for upcoming sermons, these verses really stood out to me. That's just one of those, you read past it and it catches you. Let's read that from the Scriptures, Ezekiel 20:25. "Moreover, I gave them statutes that were not good, and rules by which they could not have life. And I defiled them through their very gifts and their offering up all their firstborn, that I might devastate them. I did it that they might know that I am the Lord." There's one of those that they will know I am the Lord statements that we talked about when we were doing the overview, but God speaking there, and for God to say that He has given rules that weren't good kind of just catches you when we know that God gives good rules. When He says that He gave rules that weren't going to give life, you get hung up on that for a second, or at least I did, that God gives life. And so what is going on there? And certainly this is one of those things that the skeptic, the believer looks at this and says, there's an answer. But the skeptic looks at this and says, see, another Bible contradiction. This is an alleged contradiction in the Scriptures. And the reason we use this term alleged is because the Bible does not contradict itself. And we can rest assured about that fact. The Bible is a cohesive whole. Each and everything in it fits into its particular spot. It makes a puzzle as a whole. There is one image presented in it, and that's traced all throughout the Scriptures, and it reaches its climax in the Son, in the church, and then it gets into the history and the history of the church. But it's all painting this one cohesive picture. And it doesn't contradict itself because it's written by God. Certainly it was done by the pens of men, but it was inspired by God. I know it's familiar, but we're going to read from 2 Timothy 3 here. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And so this Scripture is breathed out or inspired by God. And we know of our God that He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. If we look back in Psalm 147 and verse 5, we can see this idea presented here within this verse. Psalm 147:5, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." We can't measure the Lord's understanding. It is far greater than ours. It far surpasses us. He knows all things. We can't measure His understanding. And so if He knows all things and He was the one that wrote this book, we can rest assured that there are no contradictions within this book, even though many have proposed contradictions. Many have made entire lists of so-called contradictions that have been put together by those who do not believe this word. I don't know that we need any proof of this, but if you need proof that many lists have been put together, I Googled list of Bible contradictions. And I don't know if you know the way Google works or not, but there are really two different ways to get your entry on Google higher up. You can either pay to have that entry put onto the top of the page, and that's what this is right here. I don't know if you can see it, but that says add. These people paid for this to pop up first. That is the only thing when you type list of Bible contradictions that appears on the first page that is answering those contradictions. That's trying to say they're not really contradictions at all. Every single one of the others, it's a list that atheists or unbelievers have put together to say this is where the Bible contradicts itself. Which brings me, interestingly enough, to the second way that stuff pops up on Google. When you Google something, Google keeps your history. And the things that they show you when you search for things on Google, they don't just show you the same thing that they show everyone else when they search for that. They show you things that they think you are looking for based on all of your other searches. I spend a lot of time on religious sites. I spend a lot of time on apologetic sites that are given to answering questions and accusations like this. And except for the one entry that was paid to be there, every single thing on this list was a supposed contradiction. Every single thing on the first page was a list that an atheist had put together. Just to really drive that point home, you'll remember when I was preaching from Jeremiah 36 about the destruction of God's Word, that I pulled up a quote from the American humanist in regard to their disbelief in the Bible. When I was looking for quotes that atheists had to say about the Bible, I had to reword my quote 5 or 6 different times and getting to the second or third page of Google to find a quote that the atheist had to say about it, because Google kept bringing up things that Christians say atheists say, because Google, that's the kind of thing I usually look for. But when you type list of Bible contradictions, every single entry is an entry of an atheist, a list they put together. Let's scroll down the page. Every single entry on that first page was a list that atheists have put together to show it must not be God's Word. Now, if we were to type list of contradictions answered, rest assured there would be good people out there that have an answer to these accusations, and so we don't need to let their list discourage us in any form, since we're only talking about one this particular evening. But I just want us to see and to recognize those who do not believe this Word are militant. Those who do not believe this Word, they're ready to get out there and they're ready to fight against this Word. And if you want to fight against this Word, you can find material abundant. Now, it doesn't hold up because this Word is the truth and you can't fight the truth. But there is material abundant. And so we need to be prepared for that. We do need to be ready for that, because many have proposed contradictions of Scripture. And Ezekiel 20 and verse 25 is one of those passages. And even from my standpoint, I believe the Bible. I believe in its infallibility. I believe it's inspired by God. And I read that, and it caught me off guard for a second. I don't know that it caught any of you off guard. You may know everything that I'm presenting to you tonight. You may have known as soon as you read it what that was talking about. But we need to be prepared for it. We need to look at this and see what he is talking about there, that there isn't a contradiction. This is, I think we recognize, the contradiction that is proposed. Verse 25 we just read has God saying, "Moreover, I gave them statutes that were not good and rules by which they could not have life." If we flip back to Ezekiel, if you have left there in Ezekiel 20 and verse 11, God says that his rules will give life. "I gave them my statutes and made known to them my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live." And so there in verse 25, God's not going to live. You're not going to have life. But in verse 11, he says, if you keep them, you will live. Even more than that, and talk about it not being good, we are familiar from our Sunday morning Bible study that Paul says of the law that it is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And then carry that even a little bit further. Would the God that we worship, the God that we espouse as being good, would he give the people something that wasn't good? If we flip over to Matthew in chapter 7, he is talking about asking God for things here that if we'll ask of him, God will give to us. But notice the things that God gives. Matthew 7 and verse 11. "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" James chapter 1 and verse 17, we know every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. And so would God give his people something that isn't good? Is that a contradiction? But let's think about, in answering that, Ezekiel 20 and verses 25 and 26. And to answer this, we can't just jump into these two verses. That's what we call taking something out of context, and we don't want to do that for sure. We want to look at this chapter as a whole. We're not going to read these verses. We have read them in our reading. But to sum them up, what has happened here at the beginning of the chapter, these elders of Israel have come to inquire of the Lord through Ezekiel to ask him what the Lord is saying about this or that situation. And God says in verses 2 and 3 that he is not going to be inquired of by them. They are acting in a hypocritical manner, and they're not going to come to him and inquire of him in this way. And in his answer to them, what he tells Ezekiel to tell them for the majority of the chapter is of going back years past, all of the abominations that their fathers committed, and how that time and time and time again, God was rejected. God gave them good rules. God gave them good statutes. God gave them commandments by which they could live, and over again, they left those ways to follow after their own ways. And God tells him, you tell them that. You make that clear to them that that's been going on for generations and generations and generations. And then you tell them that this generation, remember we talked this morning, personal responsibility, this generation is doing the very same thing in verses 30 through 32. You're following in the footsteps of your fathers. You're doing the things that they are doing. And so I'm punishing you. That's verses 33 through 44. Doesn't go quite to the end of the chapter there, but this is the context we're getting. That I'm punishing you for your wickedness, but I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make things right. And instead of being rejected, I'm going to be your king. And as we put the verses 25 and 26 here into that context, it starts to make a little bit more sense that the rules that God gave to the people are good. As I was putting this together, I almost worded that they were good. And they were good, but they are good too. What God gave, it wasn't a bad thing. We just brought up Romans 7 and verse 12 there. That's what Paul said of the law. The law wasn't bad. It was holy. The commandment was good, and it was righteous, and it was holy. It was a good thing. But the people didn't keep it. But the law itself was good. God said that it was good. We looked at chapter 20 and verse 11 and saw God says it gives life. David praises God's word and the goodness of it. If we go back to Psalm 19, looking at verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. David here looks at God's law and says, it is good. There are good things that come out of it. There is a reward for keeping these rules. The rules that God gave were, with no doubt, good rules. They were good statutes, good commandments. And so how can it be said that he gave rules that weren't good? Remember the point that we brought up as we were giving the overall context of the chapter, that Ezekiel has been telling them about the numerous rejections that have been going on in the previous generations. Verse 8, but they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. None of them cast away the detestable things their eyes feasted on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them and spend my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to make a full end of them. Verse 16, because they rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. 21, but the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to obey my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. They profane my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them and spend my anger against them in the wilderness. Verse 23. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries, because they had not obeyed my rules, but had rejected my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were set on their father's idols. Over And over again, God says, they rejected my statutes. They rejected my rules. They rejected my Sabbaths. They rejected the things that I gave to them so that they could have life. And in rejecting them, they followed after false gods. They followed after these things which were not gods. And so God, in rejecting him, God allowed them to walk after their own way, allowed them to go after a way which was not good. And so when he talks about giving them statutes that were not good, those not good rules or statutes, it wasn't God's rules. It wasn't the law of Moses that Paul talked about as being good. It's not what God sat down and gave to them and told them, you live your life this way. No, what we might call the not good rules were the rules of men, what they came up with, what they wanted to do. If you look in verse 18, and I said to the children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor keep their rules, nor defile yourselves with their idols. It's their statutes and their rules that they were keeping and going after them. And so that's what the not good rules are. And the reason it's said that God gave them to them, it's using the language that God allowed them to do that. There are some versions, they are paraphrased versions, and I don't suggest them in any way, but they bring this thought out very well, that that's what this God allowed them to follow after statutes that were not good. And we are familiar with God doing this, as we have studied from the book of Romans. We read three times in that chapter that God gave them up. If we look in Romans in chapter 1, we'll come back to that Psalm passage in just a minute. Let's look at Romans 1 and verse 28. Romans 1:28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Those things which ought not to be done, God let them do that. God allowed them to do that, even though it was against His rules. It was against His statutes. It was going to bring death. God let them do that. He allowed them to walk after that way. And that's why it said that He gave them these statutes which were not good. Let's look at this Psalm passage in Psalm 81. Psalm 81 and verse 12. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. God wants them so badly to listen to His ways, to walk after His ways, so He can give them life. But He's not going to force them to do that. We talked about, we didn't use the term, but we talked all around it this morning, the element of free will, that we are personally responsible. We have to make a decision, and God's not going to force us to make a decision. He will allow us to walk after our own way. But that's how it can be said that He gave them these statutes that were not good, or these rules that were not good. That's how it can be said in the end of the verse, if I can get back to the right chapter, that He gave them rules by which they could not have life. It wasn't because God's rules wouldn't give life. But it's because in walking after our own way, we're never going to find life in that. It's not in man to direct his footsteps. Our way leads to death, the Scriptures teach us. But God will let us walk after our own way. But then what about verse 26? How can it be said that God defiled them? Verse 26, "And I defiled them through their very gifts, and their offering up all their firstborn, so that I might devastate them. I did it that they might know that I am the Lord." According to God's word, God's people are meant to be holy, not defiled. If we look back in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, Leviticus 11 and verse 44. Says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground." And so God's people are meant to be holy and not defiled, given in the law of God. And so the way that God defiles them is the same way as before, by allowing them to defile themselves. What he has in mind there in this defiling of themselves, he mentions in their offering up all their firstborns. And what that is a reference to, it is a reference to their offering their children in sacrifice to these false gods, to Molech, and burning them in the valley of the son of Hinnom. That's what they had resorted to give to these false gods. If we look in verse 31, "When you present your gifts and offer up your children in fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols to this day. And I shall be inquired of by you, O house of Israel. As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you." See that? They defiled themselves, and God let them do it. He let them offer up their children to a false god. And that's why it said that he defiled them, because he allowed them to do that. He allowed them that free will, but they defiled themselves because God commanded that that was not to be done. If we look at one more passage together, Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18 and verse 21. It's interesting, as God is giving the law, he warns his people about this. Leviticus 18, 21. "You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." You are not to do that. You are not to sacrifice your children to Molech, to false gods. It wasn't God that defiled them. They acted against God. They did something utterly horrible, and God let them do it because he's not going to force them to do what's right. But they defiled themselves in doing that. Like I said at the beginning, many of you may not have even got caught on that in your reading. If you happen to, like I did, I hope that that is helpful. And for each of us, I hope that it prepares us to make a defense. It prepares us to be ready to show this is the word written by God. This word does not contradict itself. And I serve a good God. I serve a God who gives me good rules. I serve a king who wants the best for me. And I serve him with my whole heart. I serve him with everything that I am. I hope we're prepared to show the world that. If you are here this evening and you're not serving God with your whole heart, you don't love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind, tonight is the night. Now is the time to make that right. If there is anything at all this evening that we can do to help you with that, won't you come while we stand and sing the song selected?